Well, we've been in this awesome series that we've called Grow. And we have been talking about how when we grow in Christ, the result of that is overflow, right? Following Jesus leads to the abundant life, the life that is more. But here's the thing. It's not just the abundant life for you. It is, and that's cool, but it's also the abundant life for the people around you because all of that goodness overflows out of you. And CA students, can I just say that our world is in desperate need of people that have gone deep with God? Because people that have gone deep with God, that abundant life overflows out of them and it influences the people around them, the people around you. The world needs us, CA students. And so we're not going to just stop at accepting Christ, but we're going to go on and we're going to go deeper into who Christ is. Amen? We're going to go deeper. We're going to keep going. And then Heather, last week, she talked about how we don't do this alone. We don't do this alone. If we want to grow, we need God. But that's not it, CA students. We need more than that. CA students, you need us if you want to grow. You need to grow in community. But even more than that, we need you. Because as a community, we are not complete when you are not here. When you are not here, we are less. We need you, CA students. We grow together. And I just got to say, I'm excited. I got a lot of faith for what this series is going to do for us and what this theme is going to do for us throughout the rest of the year. Anyone else excited about what we're doing tonight? That's right. But something else that I'm particularly excited for is that my fiance is back in the USA. Hey, come on. Hey. I've been working on that for a month. Hey, I am so excited. My fiance Kayla is back, and she is the best. We're all excited about that. And hey, you want to know a fun fact? Is that almost exactly 6 years ago, it's 6 years and 1 week ago, I asked Kayla to be my girlfriend. For the first time. I did. And now, 72 days from now, we're getting married. Hey, come on. Marriage, matrimony, bring it on. And so, but what that means is that about 6 years and 1 week and 1 day ago, I was freaking out. I was freaking out because I knew that I wanted to ask out Kayla, but I hadn't asked her out yet. And so, about at that time, I had been liking Kayla bad. I was lovesick. I was liking her hard for a year and a half. Oh, wow. So much liking her. And so, over that time, I had just been like, gradually, like, hanging out more with her and her family, just kind of putting myself in that picture, like, you know you like me here. Hey, we're here. Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, good. And I had become very certain in that time that, okay, I really like this girl, right? And so I had just graduated high school, and all this life change was happening. I'm like, I need to make a move. Good Lord, something needs to happen. And so I go, and I talk to her parents. I'm like, look, I really like your daughter. I really want to ask her to be my girlfriend. And the parents graciously said, yes, thank you, Tammy. And so then I'm like, okay, great, I can ask out Kayla. But then comes the hard part of, no one tells you how to do that. You don't take a class on how to ask a girl out. So I'm like, oh, Lord, how do I do this? And so I'm thinking, okay, I want her to like me. I'm going to do something she likes. So that she'll like me, right? Hey, logic, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, like, well, okay, what does she like? Well, I know her grandparents in their backyard have this treehouse that's 50 feet up in the air. It's awesome. And I know that Kayla goes up there almost daily to do her quiet time. She's so spiritual. I love that. And so I'm like, well, maybe we could go up to the treehouse. And I could ask her out in the treehouse. Hey, you know? And so then I was like, okay, I still need to up my odds. So... like, what else does she like? Her favorite flowers are sunflowers. And so, if she likes sunflowers, and I get her sunflowers, she'll like me. But then, my logic didn't stop there. I know. If I get her more sunflowers, she'll like me more. Right, yeah. So, I went to the store, and I got 50 sunflowers. And I know. And it was a dangerous mission by every account, carrying, I had like a bucket of sunflowers in one arm, and I was like, Tarzan. Take me now to show your wealth. You know that song where Tarzan's like climbing up? Anyways, that was how I felt. So I set up all the sunflowers. It's beautiful up in the treehouse. I go pick up Kayla. She has no idea. Pick her up, take her up in the treehouse, surprise her. The sunset is filtering through the leaves, and I spill my heart of how I've loved, we didn't say love back then, we saved that, about how I liked her for the past year and a half. And I laid my heart out there, and you know what? CA students, it worked. We're getting married. Hey, come on. That's right. But you know, CA students, as I've been reflecting on that story, what I've been thinking about is that there are a lot of ways that Kayla is like a sunflower. Now, follow me on this. There are a few. So, first of all, just the obvious one, they're gorgeous, right? You see a sunflower, you see Kayla, you're like, shoot, that's gorgeous, right? But then the other thing is like, man, they just look so alive, right? So full of life. Like, you see a sunflower, you see Kayla, like, shoot, she's alive. Like, whoa. Like, wow. But then this other thing that you guys might not know about Kayla and about sunflowers is they both have this need to be facing the sun, right? So I'll be like walking with Kayla, and then she'll like stop, and she'll be facing another direction. And she's like facing, so direct sunlight is hitting her, and she does this thing where she relaxes her neck, and she's just like. Just like receiving the sun. Love me, sun. She's like just getting charged by the sun. And yeah, exactly. That's where I'm going. And so whether or not you guys knew this, sunflowers do the exact same thing. Sunflowers turn to face the sun. And the reason for that is that it's a phenomenon called heliotropism. Hello, SAT. And so what heliotropism is sunflowers face the sun because the sun is the source of their photosynthesis. And photosynthesis is the source of the flower's growth. And so when the sunflower, I appreciate you, Noah, when the sunflower faces the sun, it's getting maximum sunlight, which leads to maximum photosynthesis, which leads to maximum growth. It's as though the sunflower knows that if it wants to grow, it needs to face the sun. It knows that it needs to orient its life. It needs to change its focus, adjust itself into a position where it can receive the most growth. It's as though the sunflower knows that it has a role to play in its own growth. And Lord, help me if you don't see where I'm going right now. Right? I am going to suggest to you, CA students, that you have a role to play in your own growth. If you want to grow, you have to turn yourself, you have to orient yourself differently, adjust your life to face the thing that is going to cause you to grow. CA students, I want to tell you that if you want to grow, you have to face Christ the Son. Thank you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being here with us tonight. God, I pray that as we open up your word and as we explore who you are and explore this idea of growth and our role in the growth process, Lord, would you be with us? Would you reveal yourself to us and speak to us? We love you. We know that you're here. We know that you're going to speak to us. Amen. Amen. All right. See you, students. If you haven't already, go ahead and grab that handout from underneath your chairs. You can use that to write some notes. Going to give you the main point right now. You can fill out those first blanks. The main point, if you want to grow, you have responsibility in the process. If you want to grow, you have responsibility in that process. I'm going to take the pastor, take a drink of water while the congregation writes down the book. Tricks of the trade, y'all. All right, so listen up, CA students. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen. You're never going to accidentally grow. You're not going to drift into growth. You need to take responsibility and initiative. Now, I know that when I say responsibility, that can bring a number of different reactions from some people. Some people just hear that in the context of being in trouble. You should have been more responsible for whatever. And I want to say, I'm going to be pretty direct with you guys tonight, CA students. I'm going to be pretty direct about our role and our responsibility in this process. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you not to hear what I'm saying as an accusation. Don't hear what I'm saying as, you're not doing enough, you're not doing this, blah, blah. Don't hear it as an accusation. Hear it as inspiration, right? Hear me saying, these are all the things you can do. Because here's the thing. If you look at responsibility negatively, all you see is obligation and pressure. But if you look at responsibility positively, what you see is opportunity and power, right? If you have responsibility, what that means is you can do something. So CA students, hear me right now. If you have responsibility to grow, you know what that means? You can grow. You can grow. You do have a role. The ball is in your court. You can move towards growth, right? So let's go ahead and look at some Bible. And I'm going to read three verses to you. And what I want you guys to see is pay attention to these verses. Pay attention to the ways that responsibility is directed back towards us in these verses. So the first one, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. This is our theme verse. It says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." When we continue to follow Christ, that is a choice that we are making. And what that leads to is the growth and the overflowing. Next, 2 Timothy 1:6. "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." This is a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. He's like, hey, remember when I prayed for you and the Lord gave you a spiritual gift? Well, hey, it's your responsibility to practice that thing. It's your responsibility to develop that gift that you were given and lead to further growth. Galatians 5:25. "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." The responsibility, the choice, is given to us. We are being led by the Spirit. We have the choice. Are we going to follow the leadings of the Spirit or not? Right? So, guys, listen. In his word, God is treating us as people that can choose. Right? He's treating us as people that can choose. And what that means is we get to choose whether or not we're going to follow God. This implies that we have a role in our transformation. Right? The things we choose will affect the ways that we grow. And so, let me tell you this. Everything you do shapes you as a person, all right? Your habits are forming you. If you are a person that gets a workout in every day, what that means is that you are practicing discipline. What that does, that forms you to be a person of discipline, which means that you will respond to life with discipline. That's what it means. But it can also go the other way. If you're a person of procrastination, and you get home from school, and you're like, oh, I'm going to take a little 15-minute power nap. Then you conk out for 3 hours. I know that difference. I've dabbled in both. I know what I'm talking about. I'm an authority on the issue, right? That's not taking a power nap, y'all. That's lazy, right? And so, but when you procrastinate, what you do, you form yourself to be a person of procrastination, which means you will respond to life with procrastination. Your actions are shaping you, CA students. And so that's why it's so important that we come to church. Because when we come to church, we worship together. We read the Bible together. We do life in life groups together, and we serve together. You know what that does? That forms us to be people of worship, to be people of God's word, to be people of community, and to be people of service, so that when life comes at us, we can respond to life as people of worship. We can respond as people of God's word. We can respond as people in community, and we can respond as people of service, right? We are being formed. When you come to church, you are practicing the actions that form you to be a Christ person. Am I right? So I want you to all grab this from under your chair right now. Grow track. Hey. Grow track. I know. Plot twist. There's another thing under your chair. So grab this grow track card. What I want you to see, everything listed right here is an action that you can take that will lead you to grow in Christ. Let me say that again. Everything listed here is an action you can take that will cause you to grow in Christ. And really quick, I want to highlight number two. I want everyone to look at number two. I'm going to read it out loud. It says, attend. Prioritize being at CA Students every week. CA Students, I want to challenge us. I want to invite us. I want to bring y'all in, however you want to say it. I want to call you guys to come to program every week, all right? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm offering to you. I want you to come to program every week. And I'm not talking about if you're sick, love you, don't want you here. We don't want those germs, right? And so if you have extreme family issues, if you are out of town, stuff like that, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you have the choice, I want you to come here. I want you to make the decision to come here. And listen, there is no other action like choosing church that will form you to be a Christ person, right? A person of worship, of prayer, of God's word, of community, and of service, right? Now, I already know that when I say that, I want you to come to church every week. I already know that reasons, excuses, blocks, whatever you call them, are running through people's head. And I know the number one that I would hear. You know what that is? I don't have time to come to CA students. And you fill in the blank, whatever that is. I have homework, I have practice, I have rehearsal, whatever that is. I know the number one problem or issue, reason, is that I don't have time to come to CA students. Right? And I just want to say, I love you guys. And if you ever want to make that excuse again, make it right now, because in a few minutes it will no longer be available to you. Go ahead, make it. Say it right now. I don't have time to come to CA students. Okay, here it is. CA students, listen up. If you have the responsibility to grow, what that means is you have the responsibility to make time for growth. If you have the responsibility to grow, you have the responsibility to make time for growth. Listen up. There is no such thing as not having time for something. There is no such thing as not having enough time. What is he saying? I can hear the thoughts spinning in this room. Go ahead and write it down. Then I'll show you how it's true. Write it down. Write it down right now. There is no such thing as not having enough time for something. What I want to challenge you with, CA students, is that we delete from our vocabulary, I didn't have time for blank. I don't have time for blank. We delete that from our vocabulary, and instead we replace it with, I didn't make time for blank. I didn't make time for blank. Because here's the thing. The reality is we all get 24 hours in a day. Every single one, I know, it doesn't feel like it. We all get 24 hours in a day. We all have the same amount of time. So if Jake has time in the morning to eat some breakfast and go to CrossFit, and I don't have that time in the morning, what that means is I chose to do something instead of those things, aka sleeping. Hallelujah, right? But there is no such, I cannot say that I didn't have time to eat breakfast and go to CrossFit. All I can say is I didn't make time to do that because I was sleeping, right? Here's the thing, no one has more time than you. Everyone has 24 hours. That's not the question. Here's the question, CA students. Every day you spend 24 hours, what are you buying? Every day you spend 24 hours, what are you buying? Right? Because here's the thing. Everyone has time for their priorities. Everyone. You will always have time for what you most value. Everyone has time for their priorities. Every single one of you. So what that means is if you prioritize school, you are going to find time to go to class, to get your homework done, to study, right? If you prioritize exercise, you are going to find time to get a workout in. And let me tell you a secret. It's going to be because you said no to something else, right? Here's the thing. If you didn't have time for something, the truth of the matter is that you didn't make time out of your 24 hours to do it, right? Which necessarily means that you did not prioritize it over the things that you did make time for in your 24 hours, right? Now, here's the thing. I can feel vibes, right? Please don't hear this as accusation. I just need us to be grounded in reality, right? We need to realize what's happening when we say these things. Because here's the thing, CA students. What you make time for reveals your priorities. What you make time for reveals your priorities. If I make time to get a workout in 6 days a week, which I do, what that means is that reveals about me that I value my exercise, right? And that I make it a priority. If I read my Bible every day, what that reveals about me is that I prioritize my Bible and it's a value to me. If I don't have time to get up and read my Bible in the morning, what that says about me is that I did not prioritize my Bible as much as the other things I did do in that day. If I don't have time to come to program, what that means is that I didn't prioritize coming to program more than the other things I could be doing on Saturday night. Because that's the thing. Just as much as it reveals what our priorities are, what we don't have time for reveals what our priorities aren't. Right, CA students? So here's the thing. I want to be clear. There are so many good things that you can give your time to. Right? Doing good work at school, doing good work on the field, right? Going to music classes, going to art classes, getting good grades, cultivating meaningful friendships, right? These are all important things. And I want you to do all these things, right? Do really good in school. get good grades, please, right? I want you to go hard and compete hard in sports. Please, I want you to do that. I want you to create beauty through art and through music. Please do that. Give your time to that. I want you to cultivate deep friendships. That is so worth your time. Please do that. But what I'm saying, all of those are good things you should give your time to. What I'm saying is that sometimes you have to say no to a good thing in order to say yes to the best thing. Amen. You can write that down. Sometimes you have to say no to a good thing or to good things in order to say yes to the best thing. Sometimes you have to say no to good things in order to say yes to the best thing. And like I was saying, CA students, I was involved in high school, right? I got good grades, really good ones. I was in two sports. I was the president of a prestigious choir. That's not entirely true. I was the president, but it was a crappy choir. But it was still a time commitment, right? But here's the thing, CA students. You know what I decided? I was going to be a sports guy. I was going to be an academics guy. I was going to be a choir guy. But no matter what, I was going to be a church guy. And can anyone in the room testify that the church life is the good life? Come on, right? The church life is the good life. Because only here is it a community of people that are spurring you on to growing in Christ. Am I right? That is the place that we want to be. And so guys, I did whatever it took to get to program, right? I can count on one hand the number of times I missed program in all four of my years in high school. It would take my whole hand, but it's still just one hand, right? Here's the thing. I would, as soon as I got home from practice, I would crush my homework. I would say no to homework, is this being recorded? I would say no to Facebook, to Instagram, to texting my friends, to video games. I would say no to those good things so that I could say yes to the best thing, which is having time to come to program. Am I right? That's what I'm talking about. Hey, I had hard conversations with choir directors, with coaches, saying like, hey, I really want to be a part of this team. I really want to be a part of this choir. But I also have this priority in my life to go to church. And so what can we work something out? Can we make something happen so I can keep this priority in my life? And you know what? You can work things out with your coaches. You can work things out with your directors, with your choir people. You know, you can make this happen. And guys, I'm not asking you to be just like me. That would be terrible, right? No one wants another one of me, right? That'd be too much, hey. So I'm not asking you to be just like me. What I'm asking you to do, CA students, is take an honest look at your life and evaluate what are good things that I need to say no to so I can make my best yes. Does that make sense? What are good things in my life that I need to say no to so that I can make my best yes? See, students, I just want us to come to terms with the responsibility we have in our growth process in God, right? No one can or will make the decision to grow for you. You are the only one that can choose to grow in your own life, right? So let's not be victims of our circumstances. Instead of saying, I can't come because of practice, let's be rooted in reality and say that you are prioritizing practice over program. That's what's happening when you say that, right? You are choosing practice over program. And so if you do choose sports instead of coming to program, you need to realize that that's a choice you're making, right? I'm not condemning that choice. I would advise against that choice, but I'm not condemning you. I'm not here to guilt you. I just need you to realize that's a choice you're making, right? And if that's a choice you're making, that's a choice that's going to affect the way that you grow. Right? So let's be in reality about the ways our choices are affecting us, right? Because CA students, the way you spend your time is the way you spend your life, right? Think about that. The way you spend your time is the way you spend your life. And I can't encourage you enough. Spend your life doing things that will cause you to grow in Jesus. And so if all of this is true, if our actions shape us, if we have responsibility in our growth, and if we need to make time for growth in our own lives, then how do we do that? How do we make this action? How do we implement this into action, right? So here's our action step. You can write this down. Repeat after me. If you want to grow, that's where you repeat after me. If you want to grow, good. Set a goal. If you want to grow, set a goal. I like that crowd participation. Go ahead and write that down. Here's the thing, CA students. Growth happens when we set, try, fail, and succeed at our goals. There is so much research I could point to about how when we set goals, that galvanizes it. Galvanizes it, catalyzes. Oh, sheesh. What's the simple word I'm looking for? It spurs on, motivates, pushes forward our growth. Ha! My diction. Hey guys, because check it out. You're not gonna go from not reading the Bible at all to suddenly being in a regular rhythm of God's word. That's not how it works. You need to set a goal and work your way there, right? And so you need to set a goal to get there. And there is this awesome methodology of these things called SMART goals. And SMART is an acronym for how to make really good goals that maximize our growth. We don't have time to, I'm going to just blaze through all of them, but then I'm going to focus in on two of them. So the S stands for specific. It's the what and the how of your goal. What are you trying to do? The M stands for measurable. You need to have a number of some sort, or a yes or no factor to your goal. Like, I'm going to do this for 15 minutes. I'm going to do this for 5 days. It's a yes or no way to evaluate your goal. It needs to be attainable. It needs to be hard, or else you're not going to grow, but it also needs to be possible so that you can achieve it. And even if you fail, you're still growing in that direction. It needs to be relevant, or another word for that is results-oriented. What that means is your goal isn't just an activity, your goal is a result of that activity, right? And then T stands for time-based. You need to have a time limit on your goal. I'm going to do this by the end of the semester. I'm going to do this by the end of the week. By the time I go to bed tonight, I'm going to have done this. And so really quick, I want to focus in on two of them. The first one is the M. You can write this down on your paper. Make it measurable. Make it measurable. If you want to set a goal of being in God's word more often, then set a goal like this. I'm gonna spend 10 minutes every day reading my Bible. Because what that does is you can take out a timer, you can set it to 10 minutes, and you can press start when you start reading your Bible. And once the timer goes off, you will have achieved your goal. It's very clear whether or not you are going after your goal. That is a goal that will move you towards growth. The second thing I want you guys to focus on with your goals is the T, the time-based. Make your goals time-based. Maybe you know that you need to have a conversation with a coach, with some other extracurricular director, and you need to have that conversation of, look, I so want to be a part of this team, this choir, this play, whatever it is, but I have this other priority in my life that I want to keep a priority, and what can we work out here? And say, I'm going to have that conversation by the end of this week. I'm going to have that conversation by the end of this month. I'm going to have this conversation by the end of the semester, whatever it needs to be, but put a time limit on it, because a time limit creates encouraging urgency for us to achieve our goal, right? That's good. That's good. Aiden, if you want to join me, we'll be wrapping up in just a second. CA students, please, I just want us to realize the responsibility we have in our own growth, right? Growth requires responsibility and initiative because God treats us as free people. He treats us as people with free wills that have the power to choose. And he is inviting us to choose him, right? And I realized that I was pretty direct this week. And some of you may be feeling like, oh, I know that my priorities haven't been what they should be. I realize that I need to get off Instagram at night when it's late so that I can get to bed, so that I can wake up a little early, so I can have time to read my Bible in the morning. Some of you might be feeling that nudging. That's called the Holy Spirit. And that is not to condemn you, that is to guide you, right? The Holy Spirit never condemns, the Holy Spirit guides and convicts. And so respond to that. But I want us to think about this quote from a really wise theologian. His name is Uncle Ben. He says, with great power comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. But hey, I want to say that I totally agree with that quote. But I want to draw some insight from the inverse. With great responsibility comes great power. With great responsibility comes great power. CA students, please do not take what I've told you tonight and say, oh, he's judging me for not doing these things. Oh, he's judging me. He's condemning me for not coming to church enough, for not reading my Bibles. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, CA students, you can choose this. You can choose growth. You can choose to go deeper with God. That is your responsibility. What that means is you have the opportunity to do that. Please, like Jake said on the first week, I can't force you to do it, but I'll beg you, right? I'll keep asking you because I know that this is the abundant life. The life with Jesus is the abundant life. It's the life that will be abundant for you and will overflow out of you to the people around you. And that is what we want. That is what we need. CA students, you can do this. You can grow in God. And you can set goals to get there. All of the pastors, all of the leaders here would love to think through these goals with you, right? So if we want to grow, we need to face the sun. Let's take a hint from those sunflowers and from Kayla. And let's orient our lives in a direction that will cause the most growth. Aiden's going to lead us right now. He's going to lead us in that song, Sinking Deep. And there's that part where it says, Jesus, you are my one desire. Let's sing that. And if that's true, then let's prioritize that, right? We're going to sing for a little bit now. There are going to be leaders around the room. If you want to pray or receive prayer or just share about anything, there'll be leaders to do that now.
Can we give it up for Levi really quick? We're going to sing in just a second, but I just felt like that was just such a powerful message. And so I didn't want us to just jump into singing and then just go our separate ways. So can we just take one sec? Can we just take a minute and just reflect and ask God, what are you actually saying to me right now about my life? And about what I just heard. So Aiden's just going to play, and in about a minute, he's going to start leading us. But take a deep breath and think about what God's trying to say to you about your life, and about how much he loves you, and about how much he has for you right now.